I want to call your attention to the book of Colossians tonight. So if you have your Bible with you, we are in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 to 18. And I think really in reality, I'm going to let you sit down. I think that's a good ideal for tonight. You've had a long day, so I'm going to give you a break. All right, so if you just would follow along with me, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 18. I'd like to preach to you tonight about the art of communication. The art of communication. You're probably saying, I didn't know there was any. Okay. All right, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 to 18. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments. If he came unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nephthys, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. And let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here. We pray that you would speak to our hearts about these very things that are mentioned in this passage. Lord, we know there is much. We cannot look at all of it, but we will skim off the very thing that you would have us to look at tonight. Now, Lord, we pray your blessing on this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a story about Mayor Richard Daley, who ruled Chicago from 1955 to 1976. One of his speechwriters came to his office one day and asked for a raise. As expected, Daley responded, I'm not going to give you a raise. You get paid enough. It's a privilege to work for an American hero like myself. 2 weeks later, Daley was to give a speech at a veterans to a veterans group. As was his custom, Daly didn't look at the speech until he got up to give it. So there the mayor stood, throngs of people before him, television cameras catching every word, reporters scrambling to jot notes. He began to describe the plight of veterans. He said, "I'm concerned for you. I am deeply convinced that this country needs to take care of its veterans. And that's why I've outlined a 17-point plan." Then Daly turned to the second page of his notes, which were blank except for a line that read, "You're on your own now, you great American hero." Communication is, and listening are vital. I don't really believe that people listen the way that they used to. I think there's a lot of reasons for that. We live in an age where you have all kinds of ways of communicating. But you know the definition of a bore, right? Somebody who won't shut up so I can talk. We need to be people who communicate. The very God we worship communicated to us and took all the trouble to, from the beginning, let us know that he was there. Remember John 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before the creation of all things, Christ was eternally continuing as the Word. Before there was time, or earth, or water, or fire, before we were, God had determined to communicate with us." And we see it all around us. Now, there's such a thing as general revelation, where God has made the world in such a way that without reading any print, without hearing any voice, God is saying, through nature, "I'm here." It's incredible to me that people worship nature instead of the God who made nature. But that being the case, he made it to communicate to mankind and say, "Look, you see the order of the universe? You see the order of the world? You see the seasons? This is my way of telling you I'm here and I love you." And so, as we know that Christ is the fullness of the universe, and we have been made partakers of his fullness, God calls us, verse 2 to 4, fullness of communication with God. That's what he's saying here, fullness of communication with God. At the very heart of our communication must be a full devotion to prayer. Think about your communication if you're married, or if you have a girlfriend or boyfriend. Can you imagine going weeks without ever talking to them? You wouldn't have a marriage. You wouldn't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Communication is essential. We must be in full devotion to prayer. And the ideal here is persistent prayer. No wonder God doesn't answer our prayers so often. "Ye have not because ye ask not." And he wants us to get to the point where we are truly praying. Truth is, we don't really pray until we're desperate. Until we have come to the point where we say, "God, help me." And we cannot formulate the words, but the Holy Spirit does that for us. We realize that we have a need to hear from God. And so the prayer preceding other prayers should be, "Lord, may it be the real I who speaks to you, and may it be the real you that I speak to." Strength in prayer is better than length in prayer. God doesn't want you to pray around the world. Not like the little boy who his mother said, they were at a picnic, church picnic. They asked the preacher to pray. He had his hot dog in hand, wanted to take a bite. His mother said, "Now wait till after the preacher gets done." And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Finally, after he was done, the little boy said, he done prayed my hot dog cold, Mommy. And so length in prayer. I've been around a lot of lay people, a lot of preachers, and long prayers are fine, but read the prayers in the Bible. They tend not to be lengthy. And so, strength in prayer is better than length in prayer. And it requires us to make prayer more than a habit. Remember, God cannot honor a draft where there is no deposit. We need to be people of prayer. We just can't go through life not communicating with God and then expect Him to do whatever we want Him to do. A friendly postman struck up a conversation with a four-year-old boy about his baby sister. The man asked, "Can she talk?" The little boy says, "No, she has her teeth, but her words haven't come in yet." It's God's desire that our words come in and increase when it comes to prayer. And man, you just sometimes you're sweating out things and you're praying, and God enjoys that, I believe, when we learn to come to Him and come to Him more often. Paul tells them to be specific in prayer, praying also for us. When you pray, pray specifically for a person lost or saved, your church, or an event going on in your life. The more you know, the more intelligently you can pray. Sometimes God knows, people ask me to pray for a particular person. I find it helpful to write it down or to write down the details of it. Say, "Pastor, do you ever get it wrong?" Of course. But God knows who I'm praying for, but I want all the details that I can know. To pray more intelligently about the condition of the person that I'm praying for. And then Paul tells the Colossians that God calls us, verse 5 and 6, to fullness of communication with the world. Fullness of communication with the world. Famous evangelist used to say it this way. He said, "Every time I see a person, I see written across their forehead the biblical phrase, 'For whom Christ died.'" Never doubt that Christ died for you. He died for everyone. And never doubt that. You know, when I was a kid, we used to sing red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And that is something to remember. No matter who you see in the world, they are someone who Christ died for. And if you do that, then you'll realize that every human being has worth, and that because of that, God considers them precious in His sight. We are to walk in wisdom toward non-Christians. Be wise. Use tact in our dealings with unsaved people as they watch our day-to-day testimony. I'm sure you know some people have no tact. They have no consideration. Some people, when they get saved, they practically have to learn that. But you and I need to pray for wisdom as we talk to people. I remember I was praying with somebody at the hospital, and the person that was being operated on, he was talking to me, and he said something to the effect, and the nurse was in there, and he said, Pastor, people who die are going to hell. Well, that may be true, but I mean people who don't know the Lord. And that may be true, but that wasn't a very tactful way of saying it at the moment. Maybe he might have said that a little bit more carefully. Sometimes we get to the end zone before we've played a few downs to get there. And so we are to come across with tact, wisdom toward those who are without. To have our speech, speech that pleases God, that should be salted with grace. You see a lot of Christians in the world today that don't know how to speak. They use the same language that the world uses and expect God to bless it. Listen, God won't bless a preacher that curses any more than He will a layman that curses. It is not a good ideal to be known as the cussing preacher. It is not a good ideal to be known as someone who is so worldly that you think to yourself, well, if he's like that, I'm going to heaven. So we are to be communicating God's grace to everyone around us. Douglas Hyde used to belong to the Communist Party. He was thrilled by its basic principles. The first one is that everyone is a potential communicator of communism. Now, that was exciting to him, but his first assignment almost disillusioned him altogether. He went to a factory to address a group of workers, and when he was through, everyone walked out except one man who came up to him and said, can I become a communist? Well, Hyde froze with embarrassment, and the inquirer stumbled through the request again, and he told him, he said, why don't you come back next week, and I'll talk to you then. At his cell group meeting, his superiors chewed him out and told him, you are an unbeliever. There's no exception to the potential principle. You sign that man up. So he went back to the same group and asked the same applicant to come forward. And again, this man said, can I become a communist? He was welcomed, and in time he became a high-ranking member of the Communist Party in charge of the literature program around the world. Now, I say that not to advance the cause of communism, but I say that to say this evening that every Christian is a communicator for Jesus. No matter who you are, no matter what talents you have, no matter whether you like to talk or you don't like to talk, or whether you can or whether you can't, no matter who you are, no matter what station of life you're in, you are a communicator. You have a sign on your back that says, communicator. And the world needs you today. The world needs you and I. You say, no, it doesn't. If it did, obviously they would pay more attention to me. But that's just it. You are here for a reason, to give glory to God. As I said in the morning message, we are a communicator to the world, and it needs us. It needs us badly. Look at the world the way it is today. You go out to a job, you go out and work and deal with people. Look at how they are. Maybe they were how you were before you became a Christian. Maybe they were as rude and ugly as you were before you became a Christian. And you think to yourself, how rude. Maybe you forgot who you were. Maybe you forgot how it was before you became a believer. You know, sometimes we get in our Christian cocoons and we forget the people, the way they are, who we were before we became a believer, how selfish we were, how complainative we were, how we tried to manipulate everyone to get our way. And that is the way the world is, and that is the world that you and I are called to, and they need you. But the world not only needs you, here in verse 7 to 18, God calls us to fullness of communication with each other. Fullness of communication with each other. There are more than 100 Christians, named and unnamed, associated with Paul in the book of Acts and his epistle. He names 26 different friends in Romans 16 alone. Now, notice here, and, you know, that speaks of volumes, but 100. How many people do you know that are believers? How many people do you know that are close associates with you who are Christian people you've known and you've worked with and you know them? I mean, the Apostle Paul is telling you about him. Now, the Apostle Paul had a type A personality, right? He was a go-getter. And, you know, maybe he was like, you know, I've read John Wesley. You know, he would ride horseback every day, probably till about the age of 83. But he would not talk to anyone unless there was a reason to talk. You and I, we talk with people. And, you know, after we talk with people, we think, well, yeah, that conversation was nothing at all. Why did I do that? We say dumb things. We think about it and we think, yeah, that was dumb. And John Wesley would never talk to anyone unless it was truly needed. Why? He didn't want to waste his time. That's why. The Apostle Paul, he sent two people with a letter. Tychicus, beloved brother, faithful minister. Onesimus, faithful, beloved brother. Runaway slave, a Colossian. Then there are six people who he mentions here in particular who send greetings. They were three Jewish Christians, men of the circumcision. Aristarchus, a fellow prisoner and friend. Marcus, or John Mark, a deserter on the first missionary journey. But now, during this time, he had been fully restored. Jesus, or called Justice. The name Joshua in Hebrew. And then there were three Gentile Christians who send greetings. They are Epaphras, a Colossian, the pastor, a man of prayer, and a bondslave of Jesus Christ. In addition to Epaphras, Luke, the beloved physician. How would you like to go around with your doctor? That would be nice, wouldn't it, to have a doctor travel along with you? The beloved physician, Luke, was with Paul on most of his missionary journeys. And then Demas, not commended here, later he will forsake Paul in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And so you can see there's a communication with other Christians, verbal and nonverbal, that speaks volumes. And it does, doesn't it? We as Christian people, when we gather together to worship the Lord, we are sending a message to the people around us that we consider church attendance important. And I'll tell you, really, I think that's one thing that during this time that we've seen a lot of. God bless you for coming out on a snowy night like this. That speaks volumes about you. When I look at you, I think to myself, God bless you for having the courage and the commitment that's there. I believe God will bless you. And I believe it speaks to your faithfulness. 1 John 3:14, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. God wants us to love each other. That's a real job. It really is. I pastored for a long time. And, you know, you deal with some Christians, it's like rubbing your face against sandpaper. It's difficult. Now, I'm being honest with you. I'm not trying to be vindictive because I love people. I love talking with people. I can tell, you know, when someone is in a bad way. And the more I pastor, the more I realize that Christian people have just as many problems as unsaved people. They are tempted by a lot of the things that unsaved people are tempted by. And they're coming to church and being committed to the Lord, committed to brothers and sisters in the Lord, is commendable. And it shows something about them. It's like I was talking with somebody one time, and they were telling me, they said, well, Pastor, this really bothers me. This is in my life. And I'm worried. I'm concerned about it. And you know, sometimes I get to thinking, man, am I saved? And I tell them, I told them, you know, the very fact that you're concerned about that shows that you are, because when you were unsaved, you did what you did, and your attitude most of the time was, I don't care what you think. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And that's the way it is. But the fact that you care about what God cares about says volumes. Don't ever stop caring about what God cares about. He has spoken in His Word. We are to listen. And when we do that, we will find ourselves in good stead with other believers. And we will find ourselves as a witness to the world and an ever-growing relationship with God. And that's what you want. That's really what you want. And that's what God wants us to have, especially in our day and time. Because with all these events going on, we see who is committed and who is not. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can come and know You have spoken to us, and through Your Word, we can not only feel confident, but ecstatic about the things that You are doing in the world today through Your people. And Father, I pray that You would just be with each one here that names the name of Christ, that You would use them greatly in the world in which we are all called to be a part of. Lord, sometimes life is very tough, but Lord, You will give us strength for the challenge. You will give us strength to go on when we feel like we have nothing left. Lord, I pray Your blessing upon each and every one here today, and maybe those who have joined us online. Lord, use us for Your honor, for Your glory. And we'll be so careful to praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.